Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, those of you who are with us in person and those of you joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. One, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we are starting our grief group. I've had a lot of folks reach out to me over the last few months wanting a grief group. This is not a counseling group, it's a support group where anyone who is grieving the loss of a loved one can come and receive support and love and care from one another. Tomorrow is the initial meeting. We're going to come together and talk about how often folks want to meet, when they want to meet, what works for people. So that's tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And then at 6:30, the Agape Women's Circle is meeting. At the office complex, and there will be dinner. Wednesday, the Senior Citizens Group is meeting at the office complex at 10:30, and then there'll be worship and music that evening at 6. And then a week from today, the Silly Group is going to go to Dan Nicholas Park after worship for a fun afternoon of different activities. So a good and fun week here at Holly Grove. I have a card to read from Rebecca Fulbright, who joined us officially last Sunday. Dear Pastor Anna and Holly Grove Lutheran Church, thank you all so much for the beautiful Lutheran Study Bible and welcoming me into this loving, vital church. I am so blessed to be with you. Rebecca Fulbright, we are blessed to have you with us. Today is the third Sunday of the month, so we will be taking up our basket offering, which this month is going to the bereavement meals, the meals that we offer families after a funeral or memorial service. We have a couple of birthdays this week, Kelly Carrick and Anna Nelson, and several anniversaries, Scott and Holly Curry, Kyle and Megan Murphy, and Rex and Tracy Everhart. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And then we have a few prayer shawls to bless this morning. So the Agape Women's Circle knits and crochets these prayer shawls. Many women provide the yarn for that. But each month they give several prayer shawls to hospice so that as folks are up there enduring their last days, they can have a prayer shawl placed on them to remind them that they are loved and cared for, and then their loved ones ultimately get to take that home as a reminder of our love and care. So we've got a few for hospice. And then, I think as most of you know, last Sunday our beloved Joe Hedrick died, and we had his funeral this Thursday. And so we've got three prayer shawls here, one for Jill, one for Caroline, and one for Bonnie, who are so healthy that you haven't even had one given to you yet. So let us pray. Choir folks, if you'll help me hold some of these. God, we thank you that when we come to you in prayer, you are already there waiting with your arms open wide to embrace us, to hear us, to have us pour our hearts and our minds out to you. We have six prayer shawls that we are blessing this morning, six prayer shawls that have already been prayed over as they have been knitted and crocheted. But we want to offer a special blessing this morning for those that will receive these. For the three prayer shawls that are going to hospice, we pray that you would be with the ones who will receive these and their families, that as they are walking through some of the hardest days and hours of their lives, that they would be reminded that there are people out there who love and who care about them, and that you would help them to feel the weight of our love and prayers as these are draped over them, and then when the family gets to take them home. And God, we pray for Jill and for Bonnie and for Caroline, who are walking through some of these first days after the loss of Joe, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to move forward without Joe physically present with them. We ask that you would be with them in their grief, in their sorrow, in their sadness, that you would remind them of your love for them and our love for them as well. Give them your comfort and peace. And when they have these prayer shawls placed upon their shoulders or their laps, may they be reminded that they are deeply loved and cared for. And may they feel the weight of our love and prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who is eager to forgive and who loves us beyond our days. Amen. Dear friends, let us acknowledge our failure to love this world as Jesus does. God of mercy and forgiveness, we confess that sin still has a hold on us. We have harmed your good creation. We have failed to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Turn us in a new direction. Show us the path that leads to life. Be our refuge and strength on the journey. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend. Amen. Beloved of God, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven and you are made whole. God points the way to new life in Christ, who meets us on the road. Journey now in God's abiding love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us read responsively Psalm 113. Alleluia. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be blessed. From the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord is high among all nations.
God's glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God?
Who sits enthroned on high.
But stoops to behold.
The heavens and the earth.
The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust.
And lifts up the poor from the ashes.
Enthroning them with the rulers. The Lord makes the woman of a childless house
to be a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah.
First lesson is from Timothy, 1 Timothy, the second chapter. First of all, then, I urge that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires that everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard that in general there are three things that you shouldn't talk about with people: religion, money, and politics. These can quickly become very heated topics because all three are deeply personal. And yet, Jesus often talks about one, sometimes two, and often all three of these topics. In the text for today in Luke, he's clearly covering two of the three. And I think a case could be made that he is indeed talking about religion and politics and money. You see, Luke's gospel tells of a dishonest manager who is about to be fired for misappropriating company funds. He considers his options. He's unwilling to do manual labor, and he's too proud to ask for charity. So he visits all of those who owe his employer money, and he reduces the amount of money that they owe to his employer. The manager does this in order to develop a quid pro quo relationship. If he does a favor for them now by reducing the amount of money that they owe, then perhaps they're a little more likely to do a favor for him later. Like give him a job when he gets fired for corruption at his last job. Now, at first glance, it seems like this story could be taken right out of the headlines of current news. But then something really surprising happens in the story. Jesus praises the corrupt manager. And I find that really puzzling, because we know that Jesus doesn't want us to be deceitful or to cheat others. So then why? Why is he praising the dishonest manager? Well, in the Gospel of Luke, which we have been making our way through for the last several months, Jesus is trying to communicate in all that he says and does that the life of faith is multidimensional, meaning that the life of faith and of Christian discipleship isn't just a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the mind as well. And so in praising the manager, Jesus isn't praising his dishonesty. In fact, Jesus is praising his shrewdness and his creativity. So a better translation for shrewd from the Greek would actually be prudent or wise. So instead of calling this the shrewd manager, we could say the wise manager or the prudent manager. And so Jesus is actually praising his wisdom and his creativity, his prudentness. And then let's also remember that just a few chapters ago in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus called his disciples to love the Lord our God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your mind and with all of your soul. You see, in this parable, Jesus is praising the manager's ability to use his critical thinking skills, and Jesus is calling us, I believe, to think critically about matters of faith as well. So Jesus continues to call all of us to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and souls and strength and mind. This kind of love that we are called to is all-encompassing. It requires all of who we are and all that we have. Jesus says in verse 13, "No slave can serve two masters. For the slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or money, or as the King James Version says, mammon. You cannot serve God and money." Whew, this seems a little bit harsh. Because although most of the time I tend to take Jesus at his word, I find myself wanting to negotiate just a little bit here. Are you sure, Jesus? Can we just compromise a little bit? Does it have to be one or the other? Can we try to find a little bit more of a middle ground? But then I remember, this isn't the first time that Jesus has minced words about our devotion to God. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The truth is that money has the potential to have an idolatrous power that competes with God for our allegiance. And I think what this gospel lesson is doing for us today is inviting us to think about what it means to be managers rather than owners of what we have. What it means to be managers of what we have and not owners. Because every single thing we have is a gift from God. Our time, our gifts, our resources, our bodies, it's all a gift, a generous provision from God. And God asks us to steward all that God has given us wisely and creatively. Issues of wealth and poverty, both in Scripture and in our lives, are complex. We live in a time where there is incredible anxiety about money, both for those who have it and those who don't. We also live in a time where it's much easier to focus on what we don't have or what we lack, rather than on what we do have. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, by God's gracious favor, we have everything that we need. And in God's generous abundance, God has given us all that we have. As many of you know, I didn't grow up in the church. I also grew up in poverty. And so when I began to learn more about tithing, I became very nervous, very anxious. You see, I had to start working in middle school to provide for my own needs, clothes and food, etc. And then I started going to church, and the church was asking me to give up some of the money that I had worked really hard for to provide for myself. It produced a lot of fear and anxiety in me. Just like when you have much to 10% is a lot. So it is when you have very little. 10% can be a lot. But God is the God of transformation, and God began to transform my heart and mind. And over the course of a few years, God taught me more about God's character and God's provision, and what true stewardship meant. I learned that the Christian life is about releasing and letting go of all of our other commitments, including economic security, so that we can be completely committed and devoted to God. I began to learn that all I have and all that we have is a gift from God. I'm not the owner of anything that I have. I am a steward of it. I am a manager of it, not an owner. Yes, I may work hard for what I have, but all I have is a gift from God. God wasn't just calling me to honor God with a 10% tithe. God was calling me to honor God with 100% of what God had given me. I tried to love both God and money. I tried to find a middle ground, but there isn't one. We cannot serve God and money, because God has given us 100% of what we have. And God desires and calls us to honor God with 100% of what we have. Now, what this looks like for each person and each family might be different, but the concept is the same. We are managers, stewards of all that God has given us, not owners. We, the church, Christ's disciples, must learn how to talk about money and stewardship in healthy and faithful ways. I think that most of us desire to love God with all that we have and all that we of who we are. We just don't always know how to do that. And then I think there are other times when fear or anxiety or maybe even greed override that desire. But I think it's important as followers of Christ that we learn how to have open conversations with each other and sometimes ourselves that consider how our thoughts and our convictions about money reflect our trust in God. Do we believe that we are managers of all that we have? Or do we think we're owners of all that we have? Do we trust God with a percentage of what God has already given to us? Do we trust God with all of who we are and all that we have? Jesus doesn't care about how much money we have, but he does care about how we use money, and he cares about our values and attitudes about money. Because although money is a deeply personal subject, it's also a matter of faith. Because money can be used wisely, or it can become one's master. Money has the power to become an idol, and we have to guard and fight against it. Brothers and sisters, God wants our complete devotion, our complete allegiance, our complete heart and mind and body and soul and strength. May we heed Jesus' call to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and our minds and our souls and our strength. May it be so. Amen.
Let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe.
Jesus Christ, that's all. Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread. So let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. God, our Savior, you keep your church in faith and truth. Accompany those preparing for baptism or affirmation of baptism. Enlighten preachers, teachers, seminarians, and all those who share your good news with the world. God of grace, divine teacher, you instruct your children to be responsible stewards of your creation. Show us how best to care for the earth and its resources, and guide those who work to develop sustainable practices. God of grace, ruler of the nations, you direct those in authority. Give leaders wisdom and compassion so that all may live in peace. Inspire public servants to follow the example of courageous leaders and safeguard the dignity of each person. God of grace, helper of the needy, you lift up those who are oppressed. Breathe justice into economic and social systems that perpetuate poverty and hunger. Sustain food ministries, clothing banks, and emergency shelters. Be with all in need, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, the family of Joe Hedrick, Boyd, Gala, Chip, Mike, Scott, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, sustainer and giver of life, you bless this congregation with abundance. Instruct us in the proper and faithful use of wealth and resources that we share generously. God of grace, hear our prayers. God of glory, you gather your saints around your throne. Keep us thankful for the witness of those who have gone before us, especially Joe Hedrick, and bring us with them to the heavenly feast that has no end. God of grace.
Gathered together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet ready to share with all in need, through Jesus Christ, who sets a table for all. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say amen. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ invites you to this table. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Of the abundant table, you have refreshed us in this meal with bread for the journey. Give us your grace on the road that we might serve our neighbors with joy for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Love your neighbor.
Thanks be.